Welcome back. Speaking more slowly. Welcome back. This is Microsoft Virtual Academy. This is the Developer's Guide for Windows 10 Insider Preview. I'm Jerry. I'm here with Andy. Happy to announce that you have made it. This is the, not the penultimate, this is the ultimate. The final, the Grand Slam session. And we're going to talk today, this session, about this chapter, this moment, this module, about what if you have a Windows 8 or Windows 8.1 application, and you're ready to bring it over to Windows 10 and take advantage of all the capabilities, take advantage of that new store, take advantage of that one experience, take advantage of the 1 billion installs by the year, just a couple years from now. I forget the year, but it was, oh my gosh, how aggressive. What if you want to take advantage of all of that and do it? Well, you're going to need to port that application over. Fortunately for you, we happen to have the porting expert of the world present in this room. He's sitting right next to me.
That's true.
And he's going to walk you through all of the details and show you how quick and easy it is, but also
difficult.
How many, there are a couple little caveats, and it is sort of difficult if you skip any of the steps. But it's going to be a good session. Be sure and take some notes.
Thanks, Jerry. Wow. Okay, follow that.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that, yes. Yeah, no, I'd like to say also, if you have followed us through all of this live streaming, congratulations. Let me just shake your hand.
Or apologies.
Apologies, yeah. Especially, yeah. Anyway, look, let's move on. Migration paths to Windows 10 is what we're going to talk about. Talking about, you know, where your starting point is and what your experience you can expect if you're trying to bring your existing assets up onto creating a UWP app. I'm going to do a specific project then. I'm going to actually do most of this is going to be just a demo, because it's actually the best way of learning about it, because there's a few things you'll trip over, a few things you need to be aware of. That's the best way of figuring that out.
Is this going to be smoke and mirrors, or are you going to do a real upgrade?
It's a real upgrade of an old favorite, a Contoso cookbook app, but it's quite sophisticated. It's got a lot of content. It's got a lot of features in, sort of sharing and these kind of things. So it's a nice sample.
That's very nice.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, why do you want to do this? So the first thing to say actually is you don't have to do this, because if you've got an existing app that you've developed for 8 and 8.1, it will run on 10 on the same class of device that it was created for.
That's important to say.
That is very important to say, because the big win for moving to UWP, of course, is that by doing that, you can easily extend your app out to broaden the number of targets it can run on. So it's been said at the keynote that there's going to be over 1 billion devices running Windows 10 within a short period of time. And if you want to get that, you know, target that addressable base with your app and get it out onto a broad range of Windows 10 devices, then UWP is the platform for doing that. And all the new features we've got in XAML, for example, about building responsive designs, get that right, so that your UI can adapt across different devices. All that stuff is in UWP, so you'll need to do that upgrade if you want to take advantage of that.
That's right. Perfect.
So let's look at the starting points, the migration paths, if you like, if where you're coming from and you know what your expectation can be. So first of all, let's look at the Windows 8.0, 8.1 store apps. Now, the first thing to say about UWP is it is a superset of the WinRT API set that you are already used to programming with.
So that's great. If I've taken the time to learn all the namespaces and interaction models of Windows 8, that just flows into 10. It's not all net new.
No, that's right. So the majority of your code will move across just without any updates needed. And then, of course, once you're on UWP, you can take advantage of I forget the figure that they quoted, like 2,500 new features that are in UWP.
Like so it's 6,000 new APIs
it's a huge expansion once you get to UWP. But your existing 8.0.8.1 code should move across without many changes.
With 6,000 new APIs, it's fair to say that this MVA, 3 days long, still didn't cover up all of them.
No.
Missed a few.
Most of them.
Not the important ones. It's curated. We picked the list that was best for the XAML developer to be successful.
We did. Yeah. We did.
I like the way that sounds.
That curated. Sounds very good. I like that.
It's a curated list of information. That's nice. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
It's all right. I'm used to it. Back to this. Yeah, and then, of course, you will need to do some work, or will want to do some work, in order to create a responsive design. So if you have developed for, you know, you've been expecting to work on a tablet sort of form factor, you're probably going to want to, at the very least, maybe create a great design for your phone, which actually will often be similar or close to the narrow screen, because obviously even in 8081, your store apps can be resized by the user. He or she can put them side by side and resize the windows. So that narrow width, screen width, is going to be pretty, you know, a good starting point for creating a nice UI for your phone. And you can extend it, obviously, beyond that to Team, which is the Surface Hub, and, HoloLens, use your imagination, where you can take it.
Windows Quantum.
Oh, you're giving it away again, Jerry.
So small, nobody's ever noticed
it. All right, what about Windows Phone 8.1 store apps? These are the ones built using WinRT. This was the new developer model for phone devs in 8.1. But this was the Universal App Store in 8.1. This is the same API set that you have with Windows Store Apps 8.0 and 8.1. So you will not be surprised to hear that, of course, on the code side of things, it's a pretty similar story. So,
what about the UI side of things?
Well, actually, before I talk about the UI, just before we leave the code, there are a few deprecated APIs. There were some patterns that were phone only that were brought in, particularly to handle low memory phones, but yes, those have gone.
And those are the continuation APIs?
That's right. So there are a little bit of work there. Yeah, now the UI.
Yeah.
Well, and again, you've probably...
It's just XAML, right?
It's just XAML. It's the same XAML. So,
but
you'll certainly be able to take that and create a pretty, without much effort, create yourself a nice Windows Mobile UI. But again, yeah, you've got to do that work to expand that design out.
If I just take my XAML and drop it into a UWP app,
yep,
it's not going to look exactly the same.
No. The scale factors have changed a little bit. The style names, often the style names move across. Well, we're going to go into all of this. So there's a few things that you need to you don't expect it to just go across and just look great. You're going to have to do a little bit of tweaking.
Great.
And what about Universal Apps? This is this where you have a dual-headed
project. That sounds
painful. Dual-headed, yes. Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Wow.
Yeah. He was a universal app. Did you know that?
Well, he was. He had shared code right here.
So if you have one of these things where you're creating a phone app package and a store package, then, well, okay, again, all your code will move across without much change. You've got to think about what you want to do with the UX. So there's a couple of courses of action here. So the most probable way you're going to want to handle this is to sort of merge it into one. So you're going to create a responsive UI by drawing on the different UI designs you might have implemented in your phone head and your tablet head. And you'll kind of work those into a responsive UI using the techniques that we have gone through on the adaptive UI module on this course. You could actually keep them as separate. There's ways of you could actually implement separate navigation paths in your project, in your UWP solution. So you could actually still navigate to separate pages over on the UWP side. But
sometimes that may be the right decision, just to simplify your UI. And because from time to time you're going to be targeting a device that's so different, that try and combine them all is really overcomplicates your XAML tree.
That's right. Yeah. And obviously, if we start talking about extending out to Xbox or something where it really is probably quite different user experience that you're aiming for, that's often the good course of action, even on the UWP side. So, right, the last one just to talk about is Windows Phone Silverlight. So we're talking about Windows Phone Silverlight 7.x, 8.0, or even 8.1 apps. Now, again, all of these will run on Windows Mobile devices. So you're not being forced, you're not going to have to throw all this away and forced into this upgrade. But again, if you want to take advantage of the huge platform and take your app and expand out to new users on big tablets or convertibles or even way up the tree to across the broad range of devices running Windows 10, then you'll need to move it over to UWP. So
lots of developers were on Silverlight because there was functionality not in WinRT. So now, what the good news is, of course, all of that functionality now is. So there are no more blockers to have to stay on Silverlight.
No, that's right. Now, in this area, essentially talking about a rewrite. Let's not beat around the bush here. But we have got some tools that were announced at Build that are coming along. We're not ready to show those just yet. But these porting tools will take you a good way along the road with your Silverlight app and get it into a WinRT-based project, and then you can then take it forward and finish the work off. So we're doing a lot of work to make that migration as easy as possible for you. We'll watch this space for more information on that.
This space?
Not particularly this space.
Watch space.
A space. Yeah. It's coming along. We will announce space when we are ready to do so.
That's right. MSDN.com.
MSDN.com.
Yeah, it will be there.
Yeah.
Probably.
So.
Dev.windows.com.
Yes. Dev.windows.com, which is our dev center for all things to do with UWP 8.1 and Silverlight.
Got it.
So, yeah, in summary, app lifecycle, background execution, tiles and toast, and all this kind of stuff, all the stuff that you're used to using in 8.1 WinRT apps, all that moves across. It's all good news. We got a few things that we need to look at. I'm going to leave those to the demo because that nicely calls it out. Your WinRT XAML UI ports across fairly easily. Silverlight, well, you can salvage parts of it. It's still XAML.
If you had good design principles, right, and you were doing a MVVM solution, you had your view models, you had your classes out, you had portable class libraries, converters, and things like that, there's zero change to those. So if you've done a really great job of building out good patterns in your application, you're going to get paid back now, right? That's really great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Not just...
good patterns always are your friend as a developer, and it just helps you to be adaptive and to reuse assets and make this kind of...
Design patterns aren't just toys for developers.
No, they're not.
Right? They really do pay back. They really do. This is a great example of where it's going to come in. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, you didn't. Not
at all. I know it. You're just the most polite guy ever.
Gosh, this is nearly over. Right, moving on, porting. Let's look at an example.
It's been a delight.
It's been a delight, Jerry.
Oh, great. Wow, that didn't sound like it was...
No, you looked at me as like, is he serious?
What in the world? Gosh, why did I make you godfather of my children? No point now.
All right, now, Len, let's talk about the process of moving an 8.1 project, which is an easy starting point, if you like. So first of all...
The easiest
starting point, yes. So first of all, there is no, in Visual Studio at the moment, there is no way of right-clicking on an 8.1 project and saying upgrade to UWP. We're looking at that and wondering whether to do all that, but actually it's kind of one of those things the dev community tends to do pretty well.
Yeah, that's right.
Including us. So
Including us.
We've written a very basic PowerShell script, but actually we did this in the earlier MVA, which was accompanied the very first release of the tools for...
Still works.
And that's still... Well, it does.
Now, you say we've written. I did most of the work.
Jerry. Yeah, that's right. I think... I'm not going to even argue about that one. Yeah. So now, what I was going to say is that one of our MVPs actually has put a Visual Studio extension into the gallery to do this in a nice integrated way and adds that right-click experience. And I'm sure the dev community will do the same. For us, we're offering you this PowerShell script. So you can go to aka.ms/UWP-project-upgrade-utility for a, let's be clear, a very basic conversion utility.
Let's see. And your email for support?
it's unsupported. No, you can
Gates at Microsoft. Yeah.
And this is where you can get it, but it's actually up on GitHub, so we'll be very happy to take contributions for anybody who wants to make it even better.
Yeah. And to be honest about it, we may not make any more contributions to it.
Oh, that's right. It was a tool we created to help us take samples from 8.1 and make them work on UWP for the purposes of this and other training.
That's right.
So what it does is it automates most of the upgrade steps to your project file, CS proj file, and the package manifest. That's what it does. It run. You can run it directly in PowerShell if you've got the script execution turned on in if directly from PowerShell. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then run the actual batch file because that does it for you. You don't need to turn on fancy execute privileges in PowerShell. So there's two things in the package. And it updates your project. There's a whole bunch of changes to things. It doesn't, I mean, there's one, if you look carefully at that graphic, there's a UAP application view min width equals width 320. That we deliberately haven't removed that, but that is how you used to specify the minimum width of allowed of the application window. I haven't removed that automatically because if it was in your manifest, you probably want to, the replacement for that is some code. So this is kind of a clue to you, a pointer that you might need. There is an API to instead to specify that actually in code. It's not in the manifest anymore. So it does most of what you need, but you might still to make some changes. Some of the things you might need to do is if you've got any package dependencies in your manifest, I haven't tried to do anything with them. Jerry didn't when he wrote this. But you have to add all the publisher stuff about for the dependencies. So you need some manual stuff there. You need to add the UAP. It is still UAP, despite the fact we've moved to UWP. In Visual Studio, they haven't quite moved on yet. So some of the extensions you might need to put that. It's kind of a bit of a try it and see. If you compile your project, it will tell you if there's anything in the manifest it doesn't like, and it's kind of typically it's put the UAP colon prefix on stuff to make it work.
Yep, and then suddenly not on some stuff. It's on.
It's kind of confusing.
Yeah.
And this will be properly documented when we get nearer to RTM.
That's right.
The other thing to look out for if you're upgrading a Windows 8.1 store app rather than from phone, then actually some of the tile assets have changed. So for a store app, it was square 70 by 70 logos, part of the default assets for your default tile. It's now we've converged on the phone one, which is square 71 by 71.
Mm-hmm. Which is great, by the way, because now there's only one set of assets you create, not a group for phone and a group for Windows.
Yeah. And then there's a few other elements that have been deprecated. Some of these I've taken out. Foreground text equals light, I think I've taken out in the tool, or Jerry did. And toast capable equals true. You don't have to specify toast capable in the manifest anymore. So that's deprecated as well. So there's a few kind of things here, which you can pick out.
You just get toast. That's great.
Yeah, that's right. This is this preferred launch, the windowing mode, and the preferred launch view size. This is the code that replaces that manifest thing.
That's right.
So this is the code, application view, get for current view, set preferred min size. So it's not just the width, but a height as well. So you're saying to the system, actually, this is the preferred one. Now, that's weird. This is how this way. Is this you at the back there? What is this?
That is
funny. Spooky.
So why don't you go? It's at the conference room.
This is the phantom toast, the phantom notification that pops up at this time every day, and we have no idea what's going on.
They've probably got lunch there. We should go check it out.
I think we should.
It's so vague. It's probably employees going for drinks or something.
Well, that'd be a good idea.
Hurry.
Anyway, let's move on. Yeah. MSDN documentation for all the manifest changes. There is actually already some preview docs, URI there. That by the time you watch this recording of this MVA in...
Right now.
It's probably already out of date is what I'm about to say. So
But they released the docs yesterday, so we know we're actually teaching it slightly out of date.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm only making that up. By the time we set it, it's out of date. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
That's right. Yeah. Moving on. So it's obviously, we're still building this. We're in the last stages of building it, but there's still a lot of stuff happening.
That's true.
All right, let's run through this. Right, this is the Contoso cookbook demo. So I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio. And let's run through this. This is a popular demo. Let's run it out. This is the 8.1 version of the app. I'm sure some of you have seen this, and you can select a region and then go to the recipe list, and it's nice and rich, got lots of photos, and there's the details of the recipe, and you can go over to ingredients and over to the notes, and you can actually take a picture, you can pin tiles, you can share. It's a kind of nice, rich sort of an app, got a lot of the features that you would build in. Now then, let's go in and upgrade this. We're going to switch over to Windows Explorer just so I can open a command prompt in that folder. That's the easy way. And now I'm going to run that upgrade PowerShell script that I told you about. I've got it stored, a copy stored in my C scripts. Run upgrade to uwp.bat. That's it. Classical UI. Fantastic.
Yeah,
gives you loads
really
of information.
Great.
Says it does it.
That's the best UI I've ever seen you put together.
Yeah, it's that good. Hmm. Right, now we're reloading. And look, the project's changed to Windows Universal. So now we're all ready. Ship it.
Ship it. It's
Ship
ready
it.
To
it's
go.
Working. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Like, you're going into the manifest?
Yeah, I'm just showing you. There's that minimum view. We can get rid of that. If that's really important, we can put the code in. But actually, I'm not going to bother at this stage. Other stuff looks to be okay. We can save that change. So let's go and build and see how we're doing with this converted project. We've got one failure.
Wait a minute.
All right, here we go. This is the backpressed event args, which is, this was a phone project. So this is the hardware button backpress stuff, which is a phone-only API. Now, actual fact, we could use the mobile extension SDK and put adaptive code around this. But the proper way of handling this in a UWP app is actually to use the universal backpressed API, which is in Windows.ur core system navigation manager dot get for current view, and I'll talk about that in a moment, dot back requested. And we can hook that event handler up, and there we go, and we'll say, we'll just accept that name. And actually the logic inside it, pretty much the same. So we've got frame there, and we can get rid of that one. Now actually, although I've wired this up, this is actually in the wrong place because we haven't actually got a frame at that point and that on the constructor. So you really need
to,
it's too soon. So I'm just gonna pop this down the bottom of the launched event method. So that allows, that's the right place for it. And now throughout our app, a back press on the hardware back button. Now, what about this? Windows Phone app, this is Windows Phone only code from a universal project. There's two instances of this. What was all this about? Okay, now this is interesting. Mm. The pick single file and continue API on the file open picker was the weird phone variant of the pick single file async. But now we've standardized in UWP around the single pick single file async. So that simplifies thing a lot. We need an async on that. That was just
nice,
a continuation. So all of that curious reactivation code goes.
Thank
so
you.
I can hear cheering in the background from
Yay.
Phone devs.
Yay.
And some of the other logic that was to do with that, this was the reactivation plumbing, if you like. We can get rid of all of that. We don't need it anymore. Yeah. So we've got a nice, clean solution.
Yeah, it was clutter
It was
prone.
Clutter, yeah. And that means all of this as well, we can just delete it. So none of that stuff. We're now standardized just across the...
You can't have a pound if, can you?
Huh?
No. I mean, you don't use a pound if, yeah.
No. That's
hash
right.
if, sorry, that's what
yeah,
you like.
That's right. Now look, the processor architecture, we're currently any CPU, which is completely valid in an 8.1, but in the .NET native world, we don't like that anymore. So we're going to Configuration Manager, we can just edit the list of active solution platforms and remove any CPU. So get rid of that.
You have to do that.
We have to do this, unfortunately.
Sometimes you'll open a sample and you'll see it there, and it'll cause you a little glitch.
Yeah. And I'm going to switch to x86, which is appropriate for the desktop, of course, and for the emulator, as it turns out. And let's build again and see how we're doing.
Getting closer?
Yeah, we might get a clean build this time, I think. It's not complained yet, so we're still building. And let's see. Yep, one succeeded. Definitely
Terrific.
Ship it. Ship it now.
Now you're ready.
All right, let's try and run it on the desktop. Remember, this was a phone app. Let's try straight away try and run it on the desktop.
What's that? This would be nice.
It will if it works. Hey, look. Okay, the splash screen's a bit distorted.
Yes, it is.
That's strange.
Definitely.
So we have to fix that. And hey, we've got a launch the home page.
This looks almost right.
Yeah, that's right. Now we're trying to navigate to the next page. Ah, this is a XAML parse exception.
What's the problem here?
We drill down into this. Actually, unfortunately, it doesn't give you much information. There's a null inner exception. So the clue here is go and have a look at the XAML page and see, you usually find IntelliSense will give you an indication of what it was it didn't like. Let's fix the artwork first.
Yeah.
This is all scale 240, so actually that isn't quite right because in a UWP, the supported scale factors are 100, 150, I forget what they are. 250 is the one, actually. So I've already got this artwork that I prepared earlier.
Instead of 240, it's 250.
250, yeah, that's right. And the other thing that's changed is the splash screen orientation has changed, the splash screen image, and I've changed that as well. Now let's have a look at that XAML. Let's see if we can fix that problem. So down here we go, and let's look for IntelliSense complaining about anything. Oh, it doesn't, can't see anything. Okay. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, now we have. Now the designer has come up.
Phone accent brush.
So these were phone-only resources, and we don't have those anymore. So let's replace. Let's create our own new brush, which just we're going to replace that. So we're going to create a solid color brush. I'm going to give it a name of.
Is interesting. So you're going to fake as if that brush is still there.
Well, no, actually, I'm going to create one that's going to work across all of our UWP platforms. So the color I'm going to use for that is actually the theme resource of the system accent color, which essentially is the same thing as that phone accent brush.
Oh, I see.
But it's universal. It's right the way across everything. So now we can use that for our UI, regardless of where it's going to run. And then all we have to do is replace that with our new brush that we've defined, and life is good. Let's have a look for anything else. Okay, we've got a couple more style problems here. So the styles are clearly a problem. These are phone-specific list view ones. I'm just going to use one of the standard. Let's say the caption one is probably okay. I mean, you can tweak these later on to change the styling a little bit to suit your particular app, but that at least gets us running. What about the other main page, recipe detail page? Mm. Let's have a look in there as well. We've got another one of these phone accent brushes, so let's just get rid of that. And let's have a look further down. Yes, there's another one. Okay, so hopefully that's all the XAML star problems. So all the other XAML is absolutely fine. We've got no issues with it. Let's see if we can run it again on the desktop, see how we get on.
Getting closer.
We are getting closer, yeah. So, that's looking good. Yeah, I need to change the background color to red. Then let's go over here, and we got on that page, that's fine, and here's our list, and look, it's all looking good. There is a problem, though. There was no back button on that.
Yeah, how do you navigate?
How do you navigate back? So, I'm going to add a new folder, and I've got, we're going to enter, Mr. Nixon on my right here has created this fantastic control, which is in template 10, our template, and this is an intelligent back button control. And what this does is you can just drop it on your canvas. Let's build it first so we can use it. You drop it on your canvas and it will be visible on desktop, but invisible on like phone where there's a hardware back button.
Yeah.
So, and now we need to put this on the canvas. And what I'm going to do is going to change the title template of our pivot. Let's do a custom one of them. So I'm going to edit the additional templates of that, create an empty one. An empty template, so I'll call it, give it an intelligent name, pivot data template. And then the first thing I'm going to do is just put back into it the page header, text block equals, the text is the Contosa cookbook, of course. So that's on there. There we go, that's back on. Nice. And then in my template grid, I'm going to just create a couple of columns, change the size of that to a actual physical pixels, and then let's move the text block over to column one, so it's over on the right, and get rid of this weird margin it's put in, don't need that. So now that's the header, that leaves us a bit of space, and I can drag Jerry's back button and drop that into the first column. Try and get the focus, can't quite manage it on this. Okay, we should drop it into there.
A little bit of margin going on there.
Yeah, a bit of margin. So I'm going to right-click and remove those margins that's put on, reset all. So that's nice. And then we can change the size of this column to auto, which means while it's there, it will make space for it. When it's not there, like on a phone, that column will be shrunk. So let's run it on the desktop. I've already done it on one page at the moment, but you know, obviously you do that on your other pages. And there we go. And we can go back. Look at that.
That's
just
fabulous.
Awesome. No code required. Now, of course, on the phone, we can run this and go down to there. Just to prove the point that this UI, try again, there we go. The phone's come up, and here's our phone version, our UWP version of it. No back button on the top there, but everything is working just great.
Nice.
Yeah, there we go, nice rich app. So that wasn't too painful, huh?
I didn't think so.
No, that's right. Now,
yeah, some things to pay attention to, but not a nightmare of changes.
Not a nightmare of changes. Now, obviously, your mileage will vary, mm-hmm. depending on how sophisticated your app is. But I hope you can see there the basic compatibility between the two. And the other thing that you obviously need to be aware of is that the desktop UI there was just one case, and you need to think about narrow and wider, and there's a few snap points. We have a design session in the NVA where we kind of talked about the different design snap points you want to think about. So it's not as simple as that. There's still more work you need to do on getting a responsive
design.
And
there's not a subtext here of we're saying now that you're bringing your application from Windows 8 to Windows 10, now that you can support all these other devices as well, go ahead and make it work great on the phone. Go ahead and make it work great on the desktop. Go ahead and make it look great on Xbox. That's not what we're saying. Because part of this migration or port or upgrade from Windows 8 is just to get it working. And you can decide which device you are actually going to run and target.
Yep, that's right. So these are, we come up with six steps that you want to kind of think about. And Some or none of these will apply to your particular app, but we're calling these out as some things you need to think about. I'm not going to read that list because actually I'm going to go deeper into each of these. So the first thing is have a look as for compiler conditional stuff. So you often see this in universal projects you're bringing up from 8.1 because of the shared project where you have code in there that was conditionally included at compile time into the phone head or the desktop head. And so you need to just review all of that stuff. And a lot of it was kind of tended to be around the back navigation. And I showed you in that demo the kind of correct way of handling that. But there's stuff like that you need to just review each of those and make sure that the code that is in your UWP version is appropriate. So the handling the back button, you saw that. There's a lot about that, and we talk about this in a lot more detail in the navigation framework session in this MVA. So if you haven't watched that, well, I recommend you go and have a look at that. There is this single converged back button API in the UWP API set, and you saw me use it in that demo. So the way you do that is in the on navigated 2, this is the kind of thing where you check for the visibility of the app view back button. This is in the Chrome one, and you can set it to be visible or collapsed. The back requested is hanging off the system navigation manager as well. This is how you hook the back button API. The other thing is about conditional code. We had a session all about that as well. So you might need to add a reference to to platform extension SDKs. That's something that you need to consider. It depends on the APIs you're using. We reckon that the majority of the code you're going to need in your app will be in the, Jerry says 86%, in the universal API
set. In the lab, it was 86%.
86% in the lab.
On the street, it's more like 85, I guess.
Okay. But the case is that the broad APIs that you're going to use in your app are all in the universal API set. There are going to be some times where you want to light up your app on particular device families. So this is about taking advantage of the Xbox avatar on the Xbox or some special code to manipulate the status bar on the top of the phone UI. These are all APIs that you find only in the device-specific APIs in extension SDKs, so you'll need to use the adaptive code techniques that we went through in that session. And those additional SDKs to get advantage to those. The adaptive code, this is an example of the code, the kind of code that you need to gate calls to APIs that are in those extension SDKs to make sure that your application doesn't try to execute them when it's running on the wrong kind of hardware, on the wrong device family.
Right. Oh, so these are APIs that you execute, not background tasks that you execute.
No, that's right.
Execution. Yes.
We showed a few deprecated APIs. I mean, the classic example there, anything that's these and continue APIs, those are now obsolete, thankfully. And you just kind of revert to the desktop version of those APIs. So it makes your code consistent and much cleaner. So that's good news. If you were a phone 8.1 developer, you'll know what I'm talking about.
For sure. If not, don't look it up because that was awful.
Yes.
I'm sure it was designed by very smart people. I don't want to say that.
Review all your use of stars and sizes. So the thing here is that you saw me in that demo changing the names of styles, some that are not available in the generic .xaml, the style dictionaries that you get by default in in a UWP app. Mm-hmm. So you need to review those and replace them with generic or new custom stars that you create yourself, update those and make sure that they're going to work across the board. The other thing to say about sizes is that the kind of the effective pixel size has changed a little bit. So we kind of standardized pretty much on the phone one. You will find sizes might be out a little bit. You just need to test your UI and make sure that this is all just part of building out your responsive UI that works across the different devices in the Windows 10. After upgrading your app, you'll be close, but you'll need to tweak some stuff and make sure that the layout is exactly what you want. These new scale factors, I talked about this. So we've got a single scale factor system for all apps. So you might need to modify your assets, yours like PNG or built-in bitmaps and PNGs. We are great alignment with other app platforms. So we're kind of standardizing on 100, 200, 250, and 400 as being the one. Well, 100, 200, and 400 are the most important sizes to support in assets. That'll give you a good spread across different high definition screens, yeah, and make sure
pixel high pixel density.
Density, thank you. It was a
yeah, that's right. Okay. What's great about this, if you already have an application and you have assets created for other platforms like Android or Apple, those will come over naturally because these are the same scale factors that you see on other platforms. That's what you meant with aligning. But the great news is, it really means you as a developer get to reuse the assets you've potentially already created, or that you create and as you're going to other platforms as well.
Yeah, so a nice win for you there. Yeah, the scaling gotchas, the old scale factors, yeah, they may actually be larger now. And some of the styles have actually moved across. So you will find some styles that won't get flagged because the style still exists in UWP, but actually they're not the same size.
No, they aren't.
So this is part of the, it's a side effect of us standardizing across all of our different platforms. So we've now got this standard system right the way across. There's one little example there that of an 8.1 app on the left, and on the right, that's a 10.0. So quite a difference there for that.
That's really the reason you can't just grab your XAML and drop it in and say we're ready to go. The PowerShell script isn't going to fix this sort of thing.
No. So this is just, you have to review your UI and make sure you've got a good result. A few changes around what used to be the charms bar code stuff. So the charms bar. Yeah. So the in 8.1 the charms bar.
Swiping
from the right, and it gives you access to things like sharing with devices for search and for getting app settings.
That's right.
So that was the primary UI. The idea was that your app didn't have to surface UI for those features, because the idea was that every user would know that all you have to do is swipe in from the right and you get this kind of universal bar, control bar.
But how would they know?
But unfortunately, every user didn't know this. So,
yes.
So we tried it.
Such a good idea.
It was a good idea. It didn't meet with wholesale adoption, shall
That's
we say.
Right.
So anyway, in 10...
wholesale adoption. That's
in,
right.
In 10, or wholesale support. In
My
10,
mom couldn't find it.
No.
That was the problem.
That was the problem.
She was the reason.
We've all been there. So in 10, it's back to putting the UI actually onto your app canvas. So you need to update your designs to make sure that your users can get at your app settings, can invoke search, and can get at the sharing if you want some content to share. So that means that the underlying code doesn't change. So the way that you interact with those platform features is just the same. But obviously, you need to change your UI to make sure that happens.
If you're not porting your app and you're running your Windows 8 app on Windows 10, you don't write swipe and see all those charms.
No.
How do you get to settings?
I thought I had a slide on this, to be honest. I lost it.
Well,
okay, there we go. That's kind of weird.
It's in the UI.
Yes.
Still.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah, it's up in the title bar.
Up in the title bar, yes. So, yeah, so for an 8.1, yeah. It's weird. I lost a slide here. Sorry, folks.
What? The slide gremlins.
Yeah, the slide gremlins took my slide. So, yeah, I had one example of this. So, if you have an 8.1 app running on 10, you would see a little hamburger menu on the left side of the title bar, and that exposes the charms bar as a drop-down menu. So those things are still accessible, but obviously that's not the greatest user experience. Another good reason for upgrading to UWP and putting proper UI into proper buttons, or however you want to surface those features, right in the UI of your app so that they're really discoverable. And the last, but absolutely not least, is to create yourself an awesome adaptive UI. So obviously you got your phone, narrow view, and there's no one fast rule to this, but typically, you know, you want to be looking at narrow view, a small landscape view, and a large landscape view. Think about portrait and landscape for these to make sure that your users have a great experience with your app, whichever device it is that they pick up. So that's a little bit of work, and we've talked about some techniques for helping you to do that in the adaptive UI session, so, and the design session as well.
Got it. So that's migrating a Windows 8.1 application.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about universal applications.
So let's just have a brief look at talking about, so we looked at a single head, as we call it. So
that's
it
right.
was just targeted at phone 8.1. Now let's have a quick look at what do you do if you've got a dual-headed 8.1 app already. Well, yeah, you basically want to choose one of those heads to be the basis of your porting.
Mm-hmm.
So you choose one and discard it, or just put it to one side temporarily. And then you upgrade the other one, and then you kind of bring back in the UI into your adaptive UI for the converged universal Windows app.
Now, if I had a Windows 8.1 application, one of the things I may want to do, may want to not do, is migrate, right? Because I want to be able to maintain my 8.1 application on users' machines who are still running that, take advantage of that ecosystem.
Well, yeah.
I have two-headed project. I will create a third head, won't I? That'll be the Windows 10 head that I create.
Yeah, that's right. So, so you could absolutely have a lot of people have already got apps out there targeting 8.1. Clearly, you're going to want to continue to support them. And as you've seen, there's a lot of common code between UWP. So it kind of makes sense to take advantage of the shared project that was the primary sharing mechanism for 8.1 phone and 8.1 store. So why not just add another head, which would be your Windows 10 UWP one?
Mm-hmm.
So there are compiler conditionals already defined. If you create a file new project in a UWP app, it has this Windows underscore UAP. Sorry, this is the old term. It's kind of with.
I wonder if that's what it really is, though. I think that's the technical.
Yeah, well, that is the compiler conditional currently. But
what is marketing going to do with us?
Who knows? Where we get to?
Oh man.
So anyway, it's just a symbol.
This is important, by the way, because in a multi-headed application, there's a shared project in between that's brought up. This compiler conditional allows that shared project to omit certain parts as it goes into the different heads that aren't compatible, right?
That's right. And this is what we're talking about. You use these symbols to use these hashif, if you're from my side of the pond. Conditional compilation, which allows this is compile time selectively choosing bits of code to include when you compile the output for a particular head project.
That's right. You absolutely will have multiple binaries as a result.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It's nothing to be scared about. It's just organization. It's just organizing your code and getting the right outcome.
Yeah. You could just copy paste all your code and have it in three places too.
You could do that.
I mean,
but then that comes with its own maintenance problems, which is why shared projects are valuable.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, I could get rid of my shared project. That is an option, right? I could just toss it away. We could copy the code, but I could just bring it up into one. But as soon as I do that, bringing it up into one single binary, obviously that's Windows 10 only. That is me saying I'm not abandoning, but I'm abandoning my Windows 8 work, right?
I'm going to leave those at that 8.1 as a moment in time. I'm not planning to upgrade it anymore. But clearly, you know, you might want to add new features to that or fix bugs in it and issue an update. So it's probably not smart. You don't really want to just cut off your 8.1 existing apps dead at this point.
Yeah, that's right.
In due time, everybody will be on 10, we hope. But that will clearly...
A billion of us will. There'll be about three others that aren't, right?
Yes, that's right. Now, clearly, it will take a time to migrate everybody, so you need to look after your users.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. All right, so we talked about some of the migration paths you have, the options that you have in order to take your application from Windows Phone 8 or maybe Windows 8 or maybe Universal 8 into 10 and what that really takes. And we talked about this is... really, fundamentally, just a few text changes in your project file, and then to pay attention to your UI as well, to make sure that your UI accounts for some of the subtle changes that are made in the to some of the styling inside your XAML application. So the XAML implementations of styles are slightly different, and you're going to want to make sure that your user's experience is really terrific. But we also talked about the fact you don't need to abandon all of the work you've done in Windows 8, and you certainly don't want to lose out on the opportunity in those ecosystems as they maintain for several years
Yep.
to be able to leverage that and make and serve your user or make in monetization the opportunity that's still in those ecosystems
Yep.
as well.
Yep.
So definitely migrate. Not that we're not saying throw away your old one. Not yet.
Not yet. No,
I mean, eventually there won't be a reason. Throw away your old Windows XP apps. We could say that now.
Probably you're in good. That's probably a good time to think about that.
Yeah, that's
still been supporting that one. You know, you've got that one avid user who sends you an email once a week saying, "Fix this bug."
Yeah, that's right.
Probably time to say, "Hey, buddy, can I please buy you a new computer?"
You just earned yourself 1,000 emails.
Sorry.
Well, let's hope you enjoy the computer that Andy buys you. I'm sure it will be absolutely terrific. All right, we're at the end of the third day. This is a three-day MVA.
This is an exciting moment, Jerry.
We have reached
the end of the live streaming. It's not the end of everything, because there's going to be additional on-demand material, but this is the end of the live streaming. And if you have been with us, well, all we can say is thank you. Thank you for staying with us.
We hope that's been used. 7 hours a day,
yeah.
or let's say 6 hours a day for 3 days. That's the same as talking from midnight to the next midnight, just nonstop talking.
It feels like it.
You
too.
Are up to the challenge. Nice work.
Yeah. And nice working with you, Jerry, on this.
Why is there a poll? What's the poll doing for us? The poll helps us make these courses better.
Yep.
It also helps elevate courses like this so other developers like you get the benefit of it as well. And it also encourages Microsoft Virtual Academy to put together courses like this as well, not just courses on topics that you may not be interested in. So be sure and cast your vote, participate in the poll, and make a difference in the way MVA is in the future as well. So we definitely look at the poll results and read what comments are here, but it also helps us in the future to make MVA a better place as well.
Yep. Yeah, so all that remains to say is please follow us on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. And
that's right.
And also please contribute to Template 10, which is our blank project with added value.
That's right.
Loads of great stuff in there to help you, loads of good services to help you create apps. And obviously we're going to be talking about that in blogs and things.
It's worth saying Template 10 is not production ready yet. That is because neither is Windows 10. We're still looking at the insider preview of Windows 10. So this is Template 10 Insider Preview Edition as well. And as things move to RTM, of course, so will that as well. Yeah, perfect.
So,
well done, Andy.
Yeah, well done to you, Jerry.
Right.
Yeah,
so good job, Barry.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Nice job. Chris, wake up, Chris. We're done.
Finally.
And we have to close just by saying a big thank you to this table. This is this table's final stand.
No.
Apparently.
What's going to happen? What happens to tables?
Apparently, it's going to be retired to the great table retiring place in the sky.
Right.
And a new table is coming in next week. So
be shredded and turned into toothpicks, so, probably.
Thank you, my friend. You've served us well.
Here we go. All right, everybody, get into Visual Studio 2015. Start building your apps targeting UWP. Start making XAML shine the way it should. Deliver to your users all the business value they deserve. Good luck in the ecosystem, and we'll see you again.
See you again. Thanks very much.